inshallah. It'll be a brief lesson of hadith, inshallah. Brothers requested to stay and benefit, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So my dear respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we were covering this chapter, باب فضل الزهد في الدنيا, the virtues of زهد in the dunya, abstinence in the dunya, having less of the things of the dunya, والحث على التقلل منها وفضل الفقر, and the encouragement of having less of the things of the dunya and the virtues of faqr and poverty. So inshallah, continuing to hadith 465 of Riyadu Salihin. وَعَنْ أَبِي ذَرٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ كُنْتُ أَمْشِي مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَرَّةٍ بِالْمَدِينَةِ فَاسْتَقْبَلَنَا أُحُدٌ فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا ذَرٍّ قلت لبيك يا رسول الله فقال ما يسرني أن عندي مثل أحد هذا ذهبا تمضي علي ثلاثة أيام وعندي منه دينار إلا شيء أرصده لدين إلا أن أقول به في عباد الله هكذا وهكذا وهكذا عن يمينه وعن شماله ومن خلفه ثم سار فقال إن الأكثرين هم الأقلون يوم القيامة إلا من قال بالمال هكذا وهكذا وهكذا عن يمينه وعن شماله ومن خلفه وقليل ما هم ثم قال لي مكانك لا تبرح حتى آتيك ثم انطلق في سواد الليل حتى توارى فسمعت صوتا قد ارتفع فتخوفت أن يكون أحد قد عرض للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأردت أن آتيه فذكرت قوله لا تبرح حتى آتيك فلم أبرح حتى أتاني فقلت لقد سمعت صوتا تخوفت منه فذكرت له فقال وهل سمعته قلت نعم قال ذاك جبريل أتاني فقال من مات من أمتك لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق متفق عليه وهذا لفظ البخاري. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. He narrates that I was walking with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a rocky terrain of Madinatul Munawwara. فَاسْتَقْبَلَنَا أُحُدٌ And we were facing the mountain of Uhud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that, O Abu Dhar, Ya Abu Dhar. So I responded, لَبَّيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ I am here, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Labbaik, I'm present, Ya Rasulullah. When we go for Umrah, we say, Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, Wallah, I am here, I am present. I am present, Ya Rasulullah. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, مَا يَسُرُّنِي أَنَّ عِنْدِي مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ هَذَا ذَهَبًا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, O Abu Dhar, it wouldn't please me if I had like this mountain of Uhud, the equivalent of mountain of Uhud, worth of gold. And 3 days passed upon me, and I still had 1 dinar left from that. Meaning, if Allah Ta'ala granted me the mountain worth of Uhud in gold, I wouldn't want 3 days to go past, after which I would want all of this to be gone from my hands. I would want to hold on to a single dinar from it. إِلَّا شَيْءٌ أُرْصِدُهُ لِدَيْنٍ The only thing I would keep back from that would be something that I would keep back to pay off some kind of debt which I had upon me. So I have the whole of mountain of Uhud. I don't want any of it. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us a lesson that keeping wealth purely for the sake of keeping wealth is something which is detestable in Islam. Just because I like to see the numbers growing. And unfortunately, this is one of the poisons of wealth. The more you have, the more you want it. So in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that وَمَا يَمْلَأُ فَاهُ إِلَّا تُرَابْ. The son of Adam, he just says, you know, I want more, I want more, I want more. And the only thing that can fill his belly is the soil of the grave. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that shouldn't be the attitude of the Muslim. Wealth shouldn't be something that we desire. If we desire it, if we need it, it's because of some need that we have. Looking after our family members, paying off our debts. These are valid reasons for a person to desire wealth. Otherwise, just having wealth just for the sake of it, you know, mashallah, a lot of rich, Allah Ta'ala grants people barakah in their wealth. One friend of ours from Holland, so mashallah, he always phones, and he's got, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a lot of money. So he's always thinking about where to invest his money and how to grow it even further. It's just a natural thing. He's a businessman. So he'll say, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? I've got a bit of money here, £50,000. Can I use it in this? Can I use it in that? So it's just something about wealth. The more you have, the more this desire to increase. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody was asking us the other day in our Sanatain class, that if somebody sets a direct debit of £1 or one pence or something, £1, that will go from your bank account every week, you know, will they still get the reward of charity? Because they won't miss it. Now, £1 going from your bank account every week, you won't even feel it, right? So he was saying, even if you forget about it, will you still get the reward? I said, you'll get the reward, but it won't be the same as someone who, when they spend, they actually feel it going. Imagine putting £100 together, spending it, £200 together, spending it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the best sadaqah that you can give is, وَأَنْتَ صَحِيحٌ شَحِيحٌ تَخْشَى الْفَقْرَ وَتَأْمَلُ الْغِنَى. That when you are healthy and when you are desirous of wealth, تَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ, you're worried that your wealth is going to run out and you want to be financially independent. In this state, you give money. This is what is valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I have no desire for wealth. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me wealth, I would have held back only that much which I need to pay off some debt. Otherwise, that, and the second thing is, or I would have spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have given to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this and like this and like this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ishara, indication, to his right and to his left and behind him. He said, if Allah ta'ala gave me a lot of wealth, this is what I would have done. I would have spent it like this and spent it like this and spent it like this. That's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that two people that you can have, la hasada illa fithnain, that you can't have envy of anyone except for two people. One of the two people is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot of wealth to, and he spends it publicly and privately. He is just spending and spending and spending. And someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Qur'an to, and he recites it day and night. Allah ta'ala make us from these people. So Qur'an, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great blessing. Those of us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the Qur'an, we need to read it. It's becoming too much of a custom now, half is tradition. In our society we have this. Every house, I'm astonished. People come to me and say, oh, I want to make my son a hafiz. His two sisters are already hafiz, huh? And he's this person is hafiz, and this person is hafiz. And the title of hafiz is so cheap. Hafiz is the protector of the Qur'an. Someone who's preserved the Qur'an. When we read the stories of, you know, there's one beautiful kitab called The Stories of the Lovers of the Qur'an. It's a translation from the Urdu. And subhanAllah, it's shocking. It's amazing how, you know, the those who Allah Ta'ala really granted the love of the Qur'an, how they would actually recite it. Day and night, reciting. One of my friends, he did his hifz of Qur'an in Raiwand Markaz. So in Raiwand Markaz in Pakistan. So he says all of the hifz teachers, all of them had it in common that they did not need to look inside the Qur'an. They were all the same. They would just sit there reciting. As soon as somebody would come to recite the sabakh to them, they would stop, he would finish, they would go, and they would just carry on. You know, this is someone who has such familiarity, affinity with the Qur'an. So this is what we need to do. Those of us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with this, we need to take it very seriously. Day and night, especially the hafizat. Ya Allah, such a sad state of affairs. Hafizat, for how many months go by? Ramadan to Ramadan. Even hufaz, many of us. Ramadan to Ramadan, we don't recite the Quran, we don't look inside the Quran, and we don't even stop to consider that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the deeds of my ummah were shown to me, the a'mal of my ummah. I did not see an amal which was worse than forgetting some part of the Quran after having memorized it. So imagine, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with a part of the Quran, we need to hold on to it. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if Allah Ta'ala granted me wealth, I would have spent it everywhere on the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity. Especially in the month of Ramadan, the Sahaba say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like, you know, he was so generous, he was more generous than a cloud that gives rain. Just spending on everyone. And how much did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really have? To the extent that if he didn't have anything, he would borrow from someone and he would give it. And when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was once displeased, Ya Rasulullah, you don't have the money. Why are you putting yourself in a situation that you're creating a debt on yourself? You don't have it, you can say, I don't have it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset. And then another sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, anfiq wa la takhsha min dhil arshi taqleela. Ya Rasulullah, spend and don't fear that dhul arsh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to give you any less. The more you spend, the more you get. The more you spend, the more you get. Now my Shaykh used to say, you want to be the richest man in the world, just be the most generous man in the world. The more you give, Allah Ta'ala gives you. But we just look at what we have here. And we don't look at what is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just counting how much I have. We should budget. We need to understand budgeting as well. Nowadays it's a big problem. Nobody wants to budget as well. Everybody's just spending money they don't have. So we need to budget, but at the same time we shouldn't have yaqeen in what we have in our hands. Yaqeen in my job, yaqeen in my paycheck. No, yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My sustenance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Job doesn't matter. I don't need to do a job where there's some doubtful income, haram income coming in. This is not the only job in the world. My rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has not made it necessary for me to go and get any job, regardless of halal or haram or black and white, grey area. I don't need to do this. Allah will provide for me from a halal means. My job is to make the effort and go and look. That's all it is. And Allah Ta'ala will open the door. Sometimes we have to wait. How many people we know? 1 year, 2 years, and this job market is very difficult. Right? People are applying. Every job you go for, there's 20, 30, 40, 50 applicants who have applied. And you look at their CVs and they have so much better qualifications than you. But this is why we shouldn't have yaqeen in these things. And this is why we're always disappointed. Because our yaqeen is in this. I've got this degree, I'm definitely going to get this job. I've applied for this, I'm definitely going to get this. Our conviction is on the zahir, on the things that we see. And this is a defect in our yaqeen upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conviction upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times in the Quran Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah is enough for him. So many times in the Quran, subhanAllah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers only rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They look at musabbibul asbab. Musabbibul asbab, not the asbab, not at the means. They look at the designer of the means, the creator of the means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gives without means, Allah ta'ala gives without means. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this lesson. When our brothers go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tabligh, this is the main thing. Yaqeen, 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 make your yaqeen. Sayyidina Yasab rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, this effort is the effort of tahreek iman. Renew your iman. Our actions are becoming just stagnant. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. People just read something and they say, I've done this. Why is Allah Ta'ala not giving me what I want? I've read my 5 times salah. Why is Allah not giving me what I want? We do the bare minimum and then we say, oh Allah, why don't you give me everything I need? Everything is wrong. Our actions have no ruh. Our actions have no reality. Our conviction, yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. Right? Even in the most religious of us, we have to look at our own hearts. When we fall ill straight away, you take this medicine, it makes you better. You do this, it makes you better. You do this. No, yaqeen. Allah Ta'ala gives shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth. Allah Ta'ala takes wealth. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave a difficulty. Allah Ta'ala takes away that difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an illness. Allah Ta'ala takes away the illness. My Shaykh he says that the person who has full yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most relaxed person. They've got nothing to worry about. بس اللہ کا اللہ کی دی ہوئی چیز جو یا مصیبت ہو یا پریشانی ہو یا جو بھی ہو اللہ تعالیٰ نے دیا پھر اللہ تعالیٰ واپس لے لیں گے ایک وقت کے لیے اللہ مقررہ وقت کے لیے اللہ تعالیٰ دیتے ہیں جو بھی پریشانی ہو جو بھی مصیبت ہو جو بھی حال ہو اللہ تعالیٰ مقرر وقت کے لیے دیتے ہیں پھر اللہ تعالیٰ کوئی دوسری چیز سامنے پیش کر دیتے ہیں سو وی ہیو ٹو ہیو دس انڈرسٹینڈنگ سو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از سیئنگ اف اللہ تعالیٰ بلیس می دا لاٹ آف ویلتھ آئی وڈ ہیو اسپینٹ اٹ ہیئر اینڈ دیئر آل ان دا پاتھ آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ And then he continued to move forward and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْأَكْثَرِينَ هُمُ الْأَقَلُّونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Ya Allah, the people who have the most in this dunya will have the least in the akhirah. Ya Allah, Allah protect us. You know, everybody wants lots. Who doesn't want it? Right? And you're married, mashallah, your wife says, two-bedroom house, not enough, three-bedroom house, not enough, four-bedroom house. Bigger the family, the bigger, unless you're living in Buckingham Palace by the end of it. So this is the kind of attitude we have. It has to be like this. I need all this, I need all this, I need all this. And some people have this in their head, that once I have all of this, then I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. I'm going to wait for that time. That time will never come. What if Allah ta'ala never wrote it for you? So you're running into a brick wall, you're chasing a dead end, and you're waiting for some miraculous thing to happen. So we need to understand Allah ta'ala didn't create us for this. Allah ta'ala created us for His worship. And along with this, we do zarurat. And nowadays, unfortunately, people, what is necessity, nobody looks at what is necessity. People look at my desires. Necessity, eating, sleeping, resting, wearing clothes, no. I need that type of clothes that cost 10 times more than normal clothes. I need that type of food that costs 10 times more than normal food. I need that type of house, that type of car, that type of lifestyle. I need the holidays, this bidat of holidays. I need the holidays, I need to go here, on social media, everybody's going here, there, everywhere. I need to go here, I need to go there. We need to stop this. Right? This is foolishness. Shaitan has us in this, rat race of this dunya. Prices are increasing day by day. Now people are getting more foolish. Every year prices are increasing. Price of bread is increasing, price of milk is increasing, price of eggs are increasing. All of this is increasing, but our desires to do all of this unnecessary expenditure is also increasing. I need to go on more holidays. I haven't been on holiday in this many years. My friend is going here, my friend is going there, my family member is going there. We need to stop all of this, right? And there has to be a voice of reason. Somebody needs to have a voice of reason and say, look, let's look at what is necessary here. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the people who have the most in this dunya will have the least in the akhirah. All of the pious people were like this. They didn't want anything. They don't give it to me. Why are you giving me these things? Gifts and things like that. Nowadays people, we spoil our scholars. Well, some people do, others don't. We spoil the scholars here. Gift. Our scholars were so strict about taking gifts. They would say, I don't want to take a gift from this person because what if they have an ulterior motive? They give me 10 gifts and then they say, I gave you 10 gifts. Or even if they don't say that, the person just feels that this person gave me 10 very expensive gifts. Now I need to do whatever they need from me. So they wouldn't take it unless it's someone very, very close to them, someone who they knows them inside out properly, everything, then they might consider taking it. Very particular. The dunya, you couldn't lure them with things of this dunya. Nowadays everybody is, it's very easy to be lured by the things of this dunya. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah Ta'ala save us. Closer to the day of Qiyamah we're going, these things are increasing more and more. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the people who have the most in this dunya will have the least on the day of Qiyamah. Unless, except for the person who does this with his wealth. Again, Rasulullah indicated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with lots of wealth and your habit is, jo kuch aa jata hai furan, you're spending it. I know people like this. Their wives say, I don't get it. He's got so much money, but he has nothing left. Pious person, not someone who's doing some dodgy business with his wealth. He's got so much money, but he's got none of it left because he's just spending it on cause upon cause upon cause upon cause. So he's got nothing left. Why don't you buy another house with I've already bought a house. Don't need to buy any more houses. What am I going to do with two houses? I can only live in one at one time. So just give it. And the more they give, the more comes in. And the more comes in, the more they give. Subhanallah. And the more upset the family are becoming, why are you not buying another house? So the reality is this, if you have this kind of attitude, this mentality, just give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously with i'tidal, Allah ta'ala clearly gives this guidance in the Holy Quran that, don't give so much that a person is then left upset and worried and anxious later on, because it can affect your iman as well. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, however, so few are these kind of people who Allah ta'ala blesses with a lot of wealth, and they spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, they were walking outside of Madinatul Munawwara. They walked a distance. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Makanak, stay here. La tabrah hatta ati. Don't move until I come back. Told him to stay in a certain place. And then he went off into the darkness of the night until hatta tawara, Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari couldn't see him anymore. He had gone quite far ahead. So he stayed in his place. Rasulullah had given the command, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then all of a sudden he says, فَسَمِعْتُ صَوْتًا قَدْ ارْتَفَعَ. I heard this loud noise. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu is alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has gone off alone, and a loud noise he hears. He says, فَتَخَوَّفْتُ. He says, I automatically felt fear that what if something has happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, I thought to myself, should I go? What if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been harmed or something? He said, should I go? But then he said, I remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement that don't move until I return back to you. He said, this is why I didn't move until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. SubhanAllah, very important point here about adab and about obedience. And you know, this thing is going as well. This society, it's all question, 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 question. Criticism, criticism, criticism. Nobody wants to accept the imams. People criticizing the sahaba. People, you know, one person, one scholar that we know, started off, you know, very, very intellectual, very academic, very this, very that. And then so many issues started happening to the extent that he started, you know, criticizing many key parts of the fiqh of Islam. That other people are doing it, so people said, you know, we're not going to take knowledge from this person. But now guess what he's saying? It just gets worse and worse. When a person thinks my intelligence is the main thing, my aqal, my intelligence is the main thing, I don't need to listen to anybody else. Everybody else, especially people from 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 1000 years ago, what are they going to know? I have everything on my computer. I can type, I can find any kitab. So now he's turning around and saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his latest Facebook post, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brother scribbled down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to bring us the hadith, but he was sent to bring us the Quran. He rejected all the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He take you out of the fold of Islam. So this is what happens when a person thinks, my aqal, my intelligence, I don't need to listen to people. I, everybody can be criticized. The way the Western Orientalists do it in the universities, everything can be criticized. In Islam, we have this adab, very important. Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu is saying, I thought, should I go, should I not go? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the command, do not move. That was more important. Sami'na wa ata'na. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that, you know, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. That Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam, an oath, that you are not a true believer, a true Muslim, until whenever you have a situation where you do not know the right course of action, you look at the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You take that guidance and you don't feel any negativity in your heart, and you accept it. Sarekham taslim, they say in Urdu. You accept it. We shouldn't be doing this. You know, one of, I don't know if he's here. One of the youngsters was saying, I'm reading Riyad al-Salihin myself. So I said, no, you need to read it with a teacher. So it's a fitna. There was one of the, you know, international scholars, online scholars, he's saying, ha, ye ulama kehte hain ke jo hadith khud padhta hai wo gumrah ho jayega. Ye kya baat karte hain? But this is the reality. That somebody who reads the hadith, there are so many things that in the hadith that need to be explained to a person. Right? Even us who have studied and who have been teaching, still there'll be a hadith that I'll think, oh, I need to go and really research, look at a few commentaries, understand. Even then I can't understand, I'll have to ask someone more senior, and then they will clarify that this is what this hadith is saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a person who has no knowledge to think, you know what, I'm going to open up any book of hadith, I'm going to read it and I'm going to fully understand it, like it's fitna now. You're going to the masjid, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, and you know, they say, you're a new Muslim, what are the first books you should buy? Quran translation, Sahih Bukhari translation, Sahih Muslim translation. What is this new Muslim going to do? He's going to lose the plot. And they really do, because one hadith is saying something, some hadith is saying something else. You need ulama to clarify what the hadith is saying. So, this is adab. The our ulama have said something, they know better. And it also is parents, elders. They've said something, they understand better. They have more wisdom. When I get to that stage, possibly I'll say the same thing, and many of us do. But when we're younger, we don't understand. We get older, then same with our elders and our scholars. They don't give fancy lectures, especially those in their 50s, 60s, 70s. Fancy lectures are for young people like me. We give the fancy lectures because we're young and we're doing all the reading. This is because the knowledge is here. And for our elders, the knowledge has sunk in. So when they say something, they're basically just giving you the summary, the khulasa. We listen to people like Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafizullah, speaking. His talks are very simple. But the non-ulama won't appreciate his talks. They'll say, what is this, such a simple talk? Rather listen to somebody else who, mashallah, can talk for 2 hours and mention this Quran ayat and hadith. And but if you read the books of this person, you know his ilm is, you know, it's very difficult to compare anybody else with the ilm this person has, any science. We're teaching our tafsir of Quran upstairs. A lot of the discussions we have about, you know, the sciences of the Quran are used from his book. Subhanallah, it makes you, you know, not need to access any other book of Ulumul Quran because he's given you the summary of everything. When he wrote that kitab, his father, Mufti Shafi' Uthmani, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, great scholar of Pakistan, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, his father wrote the foreword to it, the preface to it. And he mentioned in there, he said, my son has written such a kitab that even if I was young and his age, I wouldn't have been able to write a kitab like this. He said, because my son, he's got a master's in English and he's got all of this. He's got access to so much, especially Orientalist literature, non-Muslims who have written on Islam, their literature, that I just wouldn't have been able to do it. You know, and then he makes so much beautiful du'as for him. Allah Ta'ala Mulis, Nure Nazarko, Hifazat Farman, beautiful du'as he makes for him. So this is when he was a young man. And now he's in his 80s, or his 70s. If you hear his talks, very, very simple. But you take every piece of advice he's saying, you know it's the summary of 50, 60, 70 years of study and wisdom and understanding and reflection and, you know, benefiting from his elders. So this is the reality. That's why when our scholars say something, people say, oh, this scholar is saying the same thing. They will say the same thing. You can just listen to all these guys, they're all going to be saying the same thing. I'm going to listen to somebody who says something different. Kullu jadidin ladhidun, they say in Arabic. Everything which is new is tasty. Somebody says something I've never heard in my life, oh, this is the scholar you need to listen to. He's saying something different, he's saying something revolutionary. These other scholars, they all speak the same. I know what he's going to say before he's spoken. I just need to look at him, what he's going to say. I know, you know, we can scan him. But this scholar, mashallah, he says things you've never heard of before. You want to go to this guy. There's a reason why they're all saying one thing, that they've all understood, and this person has come up with his own understanding. Like this person, we know him personally. He thought he's the most intellectual person. When he speaks English, you have to sit there with a dictionary. That's how good his English is. I know him personally. This scholar who is now saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to bring us the Quran, not the Hadith. When he would speak English, we just wouldn't know what he's talking about. Is so intellectual and so, you know, talented. And this is what it is. When a person starts thinking, my aqal, my intellect is everything. First he said, oh, these scholars I studied with, they don't know anything. Then he says, there's no one in England that I can benefit from. They all don't know anything. I have to find somebody in America. Then he says, oh, even he's got issues. Not only he himself is the greatest of the great. Allah Ta'ala protect. This is what happens. This is what Iblis felt. I know everything. I worshipped Allah for longer than you. What did Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah used to say? That Iblis was three ayns and not one ayn. I can't remember the three ayns. He said he was a abid, a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a arif, he had recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a alim, he had the knowledge of so, he had all the knowledge that he needed to have. But he wasn't a ashiq, he wasn't a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if he loved Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has told him, blindly he would have just done it. He wouldn't have started weighing, why do I have to bow in front of Adam? He's made from clay, I'm made from fire. He wouldn't have thought about any of this. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that his poem, that if you love someone, you obey them. He said, if you love someone, you obey them. And this is the reality. Anyway, this adab, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said something, I'm going to obey, listen and obey. And this adab should be there in every aspect of our life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guidance, his teachings are spread to us by the ulama. They've said it, we listen, we obey. We don't start shopping, oh, this scholar said this, I'm going to go to this scholar, I'm going to go to this scholar. Never satisfied. These people are going to then end up in trouble. It's not going to affect the alim. I mean, if the alim is sitting there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to affect them. It's going to affect that person. They're going to dig for themselves such a deep hole that they won't be able to come out of. That the only people who I feel give me beneficial knowledge is some person online. I don't know their character, I don't know their akhlaq, I don't know their background, nothing. Just that they have these few clips and they're very, very beneficial. So we have to be very, very careful. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, is saying that I didn't move until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later returned back to me. فَذَكَرْتُ لَهُ I mentioned this incident to him. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were gone for a while and I heard this loud noise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَلْ سَمِعْتَهُ And did you hear it? Did you hear this noise? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ I said, yes. قَالَ ذَاكَ جِبْرِيلُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that was Jibreel alayhi salam. He came to me and he said that مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْ أُمَّتِكَ Whoever dies from your ummah and he does not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ He will enter Jannah. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say something, he would stick to it like super glue. Even later on in his life, if he saw anything which was deviating from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wouldn't be able to handle it. He would have to say something loudly and clearly. That's why everywhere he went, they had to say, please, you know, let's, a lot of new Muslims here, they don't understand. He would say, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. Why are you people doing these things? So he was shocked. Ya Rasulullah, someone who dies and he doesn't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll enter Jannah, meaning all the other things of Islam, even if he forgoes them and neglects them. So he asked, wa in zana wa in saraqa, even if the person does zina and even if the person steals, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa in zana wa in saraqa, even if he does zina and even if he steals. So from here we understand that there was a belief that some of the deviated sects used to hold that somebody who does major sins, it takes you out of the fold of Islam. But from this hadith we understand the major sins do not take you out of the fold of Islam. But of course you have to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without tawbah, you know, there is very less chance of forgiveness. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he can forgive all sins, but the condition is tawbah. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu is shocked that the person is doing major sins but they will still enter Jannah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying yes, meaning this iman is so powerful that it doesn't matter how many sins a person does, as long as they do not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually they will enter Jannah. And this is what nowadays Muslims hold on to. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to go to Jannah. You don't need to read salah, you don't need to fast in Ramadan. Zakat de denge, Ramzan ke baad zakat de denge. I don't need to fast in Ramadan, after Ramadan I'm just going to give some money. I don't need to perform salah, you know, I go for Jum'ah. And I was talking to our uncle today, brother today, that, you know, Umrah, this Umrah trend now. That don't need to do any act of worship, don't need to do anything, every 2-3 years just go for Umrah and you come back clean as a newborn baby. So mashallah, all of that. So these shortcuts, so we use these kind of hadiths, but no. Who wants to go to Jahannam for even 1 second? Nobody should want to go to Jahannam for even 1 second. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, when I read this hadith, I was just, you know, it really makes you sad and it makes you worried. That 70,000 people will enter Jannah without any hisab, without any reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, no adab, no hisab, 70,000 people only from the billions of Muslims, Allah ta'ala will put them straight into Jannah. Others will have to go through hisab and maybe they'll pass and go to Jannah, and some will have to go to Jahannam first. And you really want to be part of that 70,000? Who wants to go to Jahannam for 1 year? In the day of Qiyamah, 1 year, وَإِنَّ يَوْمٍ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ One day is like 1,000 years. We live 20, 30, 40, 50 years of this dunya, and that seems like a long life. One day in the Akhirah is 1,000 years. Even if you get 5 days in Jahannam, that's 5,000 years in Jahannam. Why? Why do you want that? See? When the pious person in the masjid, he puts his finger near the flame and he moves his finger and he says, I can't even put my finger near the flame of a candle. I have to move my finger because it burns my finger. Somebody forced my finger that I'd scream in pain. And the fire of Jahannam that burnt until the color changed, became white, and then now it's a black fire. And in this fire, the person will be thrown. As soon as he will enter, all the skin and meat of his body will straight away burn off, will be bones. And then he will regrow, and then he will burn off and will be bones. Why would I want that? Even for 1 minute, even for 1 second. And that's why on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran, that the believers, everybody will
illa wariduha wa in minkum illa wariduha kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya. Every single one of you, Muslim and non-Muslim, will have to enter Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says, every single one of you will have to enter Jahannam. The ulama say that Allah Ta'ala will make even the believing pious Muslims enter through the door and see what's happening in Jahannam, so you know how Allah Ta'ala saved you. When you see the people burning and you're going to thank Allah, that, oh Allah, it was so easy for you to put me in here. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every single one of you is going to be entered in. And the ulama say, this is the reason why. So that when they go to Jannah, they really feel that we've been saved by the skin of our neck. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding and ability to practice upon these ahadith. Subhanallah, subhanAllah.